Hello, everyone. What incredible worship, right? That was quite powerful. So I'm Pastor Nami, for anyone who does not know me. I was just sitting there and remembering what we did yesterday. So Kwenana had the Rotary Fair yesterday, and a few of us went over. And my favorite part, I have to admit, was when they had the teddy bear walk. There was all these children with their little teddy bears, and there was me, the only adult, with my very big teddy bear. That's about this size. Well, it's the family teddy bear, you know. So we take it to the fair every year. And, you know, we all walked along, and people were just looking, thinking, okay, this is a crazy lady there, all these little kids. But it was fun. It was really good. And at the end, you know, someone else won. I didn't win. I think she had a bit of a fancy teddy bear. And then afterwards, they were giving out, what do you call those bubbles that you blow? I forgot what you call them. Pardon? Just bubbles. Okay. They were giving out bubbles, yes, to all the people who participated. And this lady was giving it away to all these kids. And I stood there for a while. I was like, can she not see me? You know, as I waited for, eventually she did spot me. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. She gave me my bubbles and my lollipops. So I walked away with that. So it was a good day. That's all I'm saying. It was fun. So yes, we are doing the second part of faith. And if you're writing notes, my title is Faith Moves. So my history with faith is that I have always struggled with faith. I've always wanted to be a great woman of faith. You know, you hear about all these great people of faith, but I have always felt like, you know, it's you can't achieve it. God has to walk you through that. But I've always felt really little when it comes to these things of faith, because I've always focused on doing great things for God. As a young person, I heard, you know, when we were in youth, they talked about destiny, you know, God's destiny for your life. And I always interpreted that as destination, like this sense of there's somewhere you go and there's somewhere that you arrive. The problem is I never felt like I had arrived. And so I started to feel inadequate and like an imposter around faith. And it's because my definition of faith was limited to grand achievements, great miracles, prophetic moves and healings. But Pastor Steve Coppen last week, when he was preaching, he said something really powerful. He said, faith is simple. You don't have to work so hard at it. And he also talked about Enoch and how Enoch had great faith, despite not having access to the Bible. You know, we have a Bible to read. A lot of these people lived their lives and it was written about them. See, the Bible says that Enoch pleased God. And he pleased God because Enoch believed God. He sought after God. And he believed that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And so Enoch pleased God. And so I realized something. You can be living in faith and miss it. Because the truth is, you are already living in faith. We're all already living in faith. So I just want to share from Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. It's from the NIV. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written on it, in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? This is the third time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the Lord, of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray, Lord, as I share from the scriptures, that you would give us understanding. I pray that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive what you want us to see through this. I pray, Father, that this word would change mindsets, would move hearts, and that as we walk out of this place, Lord, we would move differently. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the background here is that Moses and Joshua did life together, with Moses being a mentor to young Joshua. Moses was chosen by God to deliver the children of Israel from slavery, and he did that. But he never got to see the promised land because he disobeyed God on a matter. Joshua would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And so here in the scriptures that I just read, we see the instruction of God to Joshua after Moses died. So dead is gone. Dead is gone. God starts with this instruction to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. I think we can rightly assume that Joshua already knew this, right? But God needed to establish this truth in Joshua's mind, because this truth was foundational to God, to what God was about to do in Joshua's life. The thing is, in order to move forward, we must recognize that dead is gone. Recognize that there are some things that no longer serve a purpose. They've become useless. They are dead. And so we have to release those things back to God, because he already knows that that thing has served its purpose. He just needs you and I to understand it. Moses, my servant, is dead. With that knowledge, God was ready to show Joshua a new assignment. You see, God had a new leadership assignment for Joshua. Joshua had traveled with Moses for many, many years. So he knew what leadership was, but this was a new assignment. And so he had different instructions for something different. I believe that God has a new assignment for all of us. Something different from what your predecessor has done. So you have to stop hanging on to what somebody else did before you came on the scene. God wanted Joshua to understand that there were plans for expansion and that there would be territories that he would occupy. With every assignment, God has a tendency that I've observed, and that's to give a promise and to give reassurance. He wanted Joshua to understand that there's promises of protection and ever-present help. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he gave Joshua a word to hang on to. The word to hang on to. You see, faith listens for the word that is going to keep you going. He told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he told him, be strong and courageous. But we know God also tends to have some conditions, what he expects us to do. And the promises of God require our participation. You see, for Joshua to be successful, he had to obey. You and I do our part of obedience, and God does his part of fulfilling the promises. So what exactly is faith? And how do I get it? Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Romans 10, 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing. So faith is a byproduct of our hearing. So if I want faith to come, then I must hear. In Hebrew, the word hear is shema. Shema, which means to allow the words to sink in. You see, when we read the Bible and hear the word hear, we take it at a very basic level. But it's deeper than just hearing the word. It says it's to allow the words to sink in, provide understanding, and generate a response. So it's about action. And so hearing and doing are the same thing. Therefore, it's important for us to realize that faith moves. Faith moves. Faith moves when it recognizes three things, which I've already spoken about. Number one, that dead is gone. Number two, that there is a new assignment. And number three, that there is a word to hang on to. Joshua became focused and lived by faith when he recognized these three things. It says that in verse 10, so Joshua, after he heard the word, he ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. By faith, Joshua ordered officers. By faith, Joshua took on this new leadership position because faith moves. Hebrews 11, verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. So Joshua, in chapter 6, was instructed by God. He's just been told, be strong and courageous. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, he's been told all these things. Now he's ready to go. In chapter 6, this is what happens. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. And so he goes on and on. This is God explaining and instructing Joshua on what to do.
God wanted Joshua to see what he, God, already saw. You see, God saw the deliverance and victory before it occurred because he was in charge of it all anyway. And so with that in mind, he says, march. So God wants us to open our eyes and see first. We have to see first, and then we march. And I believe that's what God would say to all of us. If we're struggling with this faith thing, like I have, he wants you to see it and then take the action of marching. So how exactly do we walk by faith? Psalm 139, verse 14 to 16, this is about David. He says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so by faith, David was certain that God's works are wonderful. By faith, he confidently declared that he was a unique creation, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, walking by faith requires an understanding of the uniqueness of all of God's creations, including you. By faith, he knows this full well. Not in parts. Walking by faith requires that we don't only partially know the wonder of God and his works, but we know it full well. And so faith is actually a trust issue. It's a trust issue. It says in verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. This is David talking to God. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You see, when it says your eyes saw my unformed body, what that's telling me is that God sees the unformed version of everything that is to come in our lives. When we're praying for things, God already sees the unformed version of that. We may not see it because we see through natural eyes, but God already sees it. And that's why he would command someone to march, even though they have not seen it yet. Because he sees it. God has the facts about your timeline on this earth. So trusting him is the way to go. Faith is to be continued. It's to be continued. You know, I really hate, I don't know about you, I hate cliffhangers. You know, you watch a really good movie, and at the end, you're left hanging, unsure what's going to happen next, right? And now you have to wait until they bring out the second movie. And usually that takes about, what, 2 years? Our lives can sometimes feel like a cliffhanger. We go through trials and tribulations, and then we don't get what we hoped for. Someone gets sick. Someone gets divorced. Someone dies. Nothing goes according to plan. But the truth is, God is present before, during, and after our entry into this world. He's there for it all. Before, during, and after. We only tend to focus on the during phase, our present time on earth. long before we came, others prayed. Others believed. Others took steps of faith. And so faith is to be continued. There's more to the story. Hebrews 11 is, if you want to know about faith or know more about faith, you go to Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 11, verse 36 to 40, it says, this is talking about people who lived by faith. It says, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You know, there's some scriptures you read in the Bible and you think, was that really meant to be there? Or did that have to be there? It says, these people were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. That's a problem. You know, there's a few takeaway messages from that scripture. And here's number one. Living by faith does not mean you get what you want. It does not mean you get what you prayed for or what you're believing for. It says that God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Who are they? All these people that I've just talked about, who lived by faith, who were commended for their faith, they didn't get what they prayed for. But it says that God planned something better for us, so that only together, them and us, would they be made perfect. It was always God's strategy that faith would be generational, that faith would be a lifelong journey, not just about the here and now. You see, I looked at my own life and I realized my problem, the reason why I was struggling with this faith thing, was that I was looking at my life now. I was looking at the present moment and not necessarily looking at the generations. You see, because sometimes God will speak a word to you. He'll give you a prophetic word and you won't see it happen and you'll feel disappointed because you're thinking, what happened? But that's only because you're thinking about yourself in that moment. But God thinks generationally. And so sometimes when he gives you a word, like those people who never got to see it, it doesn't mean that God was telling lies. It's that God is generational. His perspective is different from ours. So just because I don't see it happen now, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Before Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, Moses led them. And before Moses, there were many others. When we look at the Bible, we can take it from Abraham to Isaac. There were many more before then. Abraham to Isaac. And then there was Isaac to Jacob. And Jacob had his 12 sons. And then we see Joseph. And that's where the slavery in Egypt started. And from Joseph, we move on to Moses. But after Joshua, we have the prophets. We have the kings. We have the various empires. We have the Roman Empire. And then we have Jesus Christ and the new covenant. Then we have us, you and I, and our trials and tribulations. It's all one long story. It's generational. You know, medical and other insurance companies, they have a waiting period. Don't you just hate the waiting period? You know, different companies, sometimes people call around, right, to try and find the best company with the shortest waiting period. But with the waiting period, you have to wait before you can enjoy benefits of what they offer. The thing is, God works a little differently. He operates differently. He has a different system. Because number one, he decides the waiting period. You don't get to hear that, okay, this is a 2-month waiting period. You just don't know with God how long it is. It remains a mystery. You don't actually know what you will get at the end of the waiting period. And you don't even know how you will get there, except to trust. Because that's what God requires of us. So I just want to share about a woman that I think is a woman of great faith. Recently, I received a text message, and a voice memo. It started off as a voice memo, and it was from my father's sister. I didn't really grow up with them, but, you know, she's there, part of my life. We've kept in contact. And she wrote, this was a song, and I have asked permission to share this. There was a song, and she was singing, "Hallelujah, I thank you, Lord, for the days of my life." And that was it. And she kept singing that over and over and over and over and over again. And that was because she just had her 60th birthday. So I asked her, I asked her what turning 60 meant to her. And she said, "I thank God I made it to 60. I never thought it was possible. It was nothing more, nothing less." Because I was waiting. I was like, "Yeah, so what's going to happen at 60? Like, what's your big plan?" And she said it again. "I thank God I made it to 60. And it took a while for that to kind of really click, how big that is for her, and what that the value of gratitude for where you are in life. And so, by faith, I asked if I could pray for her. And I say by faith because it took a lot for me to ask. And it took a lot because as I spoke to her, I was confronted by my own fears. And I'll explain a bit in a minute. Fears, and in that moment, I was feeling inadequate, feeling like I was overstepping, I was being insensitive, because this lady has known complicated grief. And I had this fear, I was tempted not to ask her if I could pray for her. But I felt the need and I acted, because faith moves. You see, I call it a woman of great faith because my aunt has had a difficult 5 years. Her mother died after 4 years of living with a stroke and her nursing her through that. And one of her two daughters, who had dedicated her whole life to taking care of the grandmother as well, died of COVID. But before she died of COVID, she was diagnosed the previous year of some brain disease. And then her brother, who had epilepsy, my uncle, he died under mysterious circumstances. He was found dead in the home. And then her husband dropped dead while exercising at the gym. And then she had health complications. So when I first called her, I said to her, "We're coming home," and by the way, we're going overseas very soon. So I said, "We're coming home soon. I would like to see you." And she said to me, "I'm still healing. I don't want you to come and see me. I will not stop crying if you come and see me." Because I guess I remind her of my father, who died many years ago, and they were very close. I don't think she ever got over that. And so I said to her, "Look, I will respect your wishes, but I really would like to come and see you." And so I prayed for her, and after the prayer, she said this. And if I could have the band or somebody. She said this. She said, "I take that back." She said, "You can come and see me." And she said that with a big smile on her face. Like, this is video chatting. Now, what happened? How did we move from I don't want you to see me, to I take that back. I believe that God happened. I believe that faith happened. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author or the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so because of people like her, people like me are encouraged to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And so as I finish up, I'll get you to just stand up. I'd like to give people an opportunity for us to pray. That by faith, may we pray for a release from dead things. Because I believe some people are sitting in dead spaces. There's just deadness surrounding us. And we have not recognized that dead is gone. Whether it's in your job or in your relationship or something else. I'd like us to pray and ask the Lord, what is my new assignment? And lastly, to pray by faith that you would hear the word of the Lord that you need to hang on to. I hang on. When we read the Bible, you have to read it like God is talking to you, unless it's something specific to that person. When you read the Bible and it says, be strong and courageous, you have to take that word like God is speaking directly to you. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you have to read that like God is saying that to you.